And so the standard of Christian living, today I would ask you a question. Are you passionate about your faith for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, really. I mean, we talk about the Christian life. We talk about what it means to us, and we like all the good blessings that we get from God. But to this morning, would you ponder that in your life, that you're passionate, I mean, passionate for Jesus Christ? I mean, God, today, He looks down from heaven, and He looks for passionate believers, somebody that is willing to open up their lives. Today, He looks for passionate disciples. I mean, you know, one of the things we want to do at First Baptist Church is be a help to other people. And sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, Sundays ain't enough. You with me? I mean, you know, some of us might complain how long the service is and so forth, but Sundays is not enough to get what God wants you and I to have. And so today, God looks down and He's looking for passionate disciples. Then, we're looking for people who are passionate in our lives. Amen. Well, we want somebody who says that when they say, I love you, they mean it and they have passion about it. They understand that there's no doubt about it. They love me, they care for me, and they want to be in my life. Amen. Nobody likes to have somebody just flip it and just flamboyant where I just don't care. Well, I love you, but you never take a mention of showing it. Amen. And so this morning, that word passionate means having strong desires. I mean strong desires, feelings and convictions, not just living a life of carelessness, but having passion, having these strong desires that controls me and helps me to be adequate in what God has called me to do. Amen. And so this morning, we want to bring out what that really means to you and I. And so I've titled this, The Standard of Christian Living. You know, this morning, if I would just stop right now and went around with a pad and a pencil, I would promise you that I would have different answers at asking the question, what is the standard of Christian living? People would give me all kinds of answers. I'm sure of that. Some may say, I believe that it's good to go to church, but yet I think that going to church is good, but I don't believe that that is the standard to live for Jesus Christ. Some may say, well, I speak well with my tongue. I know how to pronounce words and I use it in a right, edifying way, but yet that's still not the standards that Christ will look for us, although that pertains to our message. Amen. And so this morning, I want to bring out to you, here we have Paul writing a letter to Timothy. Amen. And if you and I was to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, look what it says. Here, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And so here, Paul is starting off writing this letter to Timothy. He says, my own son in the faith. Amen. You're saying, Pastor, that they were no relations. That's not the point. See, folks, you need to understand that today we have spiritual fathers of the faith. Amen. I look at Brother Mel as one of the spiritual fathers in this church. I mean, he's been here for over 50-something years. Amen. I look at Sister Alice, one of the spiritual mothers in the church. I mean, these things, we are to be able to acknowledge these people in our life. But you know, even though we can look at certain people in our life, there's one requirement that God requires for every believer to produce this Christian standard. to produce this reality, what Christians is. And so here, number one is that faithfulness is required of every believer. So this morning we will look at the word faithfulness to determine, to pick out that is something that should be a standard. Faithfulness should be a standard for every Christian believer. Now, I want to prove that to you right out of the Word of God. So look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's look at what the Bible says. Verse 15, the Bible says, you with me? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I like that, how it begins the verse, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, there's everything that we do when we become faithful in what God has placed in our life, that we become worthy in everything we do. You say, Pastor, what does that really mean? Well, it simply means that today, you know, God didn't leave you and me in the dark. God wants us. He wants us to be successful, but it comes upon our choice in the matter of being faithful. A lot of folks today don't like to talk about being faithful. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to all to be testified in due time. You see, here we find the Lord Jesus Christ producing faithfulness in his life. I like the fact that there's only one God. You know, folks, this God that we're talking about, we've been making mention on Wednesday nights on the names of God, and we've been going through all of that. It reminds me, Elohim, how you pronounce that, the creator, the God of the universe. This God, this one God, he's vast. It can be hard to understand to know all the vastness of this one God. And so there's a lot to learn. It takes a lifetime to know about this one God, this one mediator between God and man. And yet I can imagine trying to learn about all these other so-called gods. I don't know what it drives in your heart this morning, but it should drive that we are to be faithful of learning who this one God is and what he means to you and I. Amen. The Christ man, the man Christ Jesus. I like the verse 6, who gave himself a ransom to all. Now notice, after we look at that little phrase, that he gave himself for a ransom all. Notice what the Bible says, and this is very, very speculative that you and I can really understand what this means. But it says to be tested in due time. You know, I would say to you this morning, perhaps you need to test your salvation. You need to test to know that you are in Christ Jesus. You need to know beyond shadow of a doubt. You need to know without any doubt, with any hesitation, that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Because if you don't, then there's some problems. You won't be able to stand. You won't be able to test anything. You won't never be tested in your life to know, to have confidence. See, God allows testing in our lives. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he wants to build confidence in our life. And so this morning, I would say that Jesus Christ this morning says, test me. In fact, there are verses that come, see, and taste that the Lord is good. God tells us time and time again for us to test him. And so why? Why can we be able to test him? Because he says that he's faithful. Amen. Timothy, to be faithful with the whole truth of God, To be faithful in Christ Jesus, you must talk about, you must know, you must understand the works of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Is that what we talk about today? Is that what's on our hearts? You know, today I would say to you, you ought to be able to test that you, if you're a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that you just know and accept the name of Jesus. But Christians make a priority to talk about Jesus. I'm talking about to you today that you and I, we understand, we recognize who Jesus Christ is. And He's the first thing that comes to our mind. He's the one thing that when we wake up, we're glad, we can't wait to spend time with Him. Amen? And so it's easier talk. Listen, folks. It is Jesus Christ and His blood only that can save you. His blood only that is the truth. His blood only that has the life. That life for you and I that we can be testing every day of our life. Are you faithful at it? Faithfulness is required of every believer. Go over with me in Jude. Not too far. Just keep your hand right there in Timothy. Go with me into Jude. Jude chapter 1. I would like to encourage you to look with me in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should, here it is, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Today, that's something you and I should be doing every day of our life. We should be contending for the faith. I'm not talking about being in competition. I'm talking about thriving. I'm talking about going after the things of Christ. Amen? Listen, folks, there's a warning. There's an awareness. Look what verse 3 says. That if we don't go after the things of the Lord, then things will happen. It says, for there are certain men, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are to be folks who contend for the faith. Listen, folks, if you don't contend for the faith, if you don't make it a priority, if you don't become faithful and contending what God has set before you, you will never be what God wants you to be in your life. And so it's something that you and I, we must acknowledge. Here, Timothy, be faithful. Be faithful what? What are we to be faithful for? Well, I believe that this morning, God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to guard what we have already been entrusted. Amen. Go back with me to 1 Timothy. I hope you don't lose your place in 1 Timothy. Amen. I want you to go with me. I think it was in verse 17. Okay. Verse 17. But let's go back to verse 13. Let's go back and read it again. I think it'll do us good. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. I want you to notice that. Jesus Christ witnessed a good confession. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, he witnessed a good confession in what he believed. Amen. I don't want to throw anything out there that will disrupt you. But Jesus did go around when he was here on this earth. And he did go around claiming that he was the Son of God. You know, before you can go around claiming that you are something or someone, you must begin to believe it in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe that when the times of testing came into the life of Jesus Christ, it was more than what he was saying. It was more who he was. Amen. It was the fact that he had good confession in his life that he was the Son of God. And he stood up through the times of the trial and showed us that he was the Son of God. Look with me at verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto all the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning here we find that what was entrusted into you was the very commandment that God has given to us. We say that we are the children of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then if it is, then we are to be faithful until the coming of Jesus Christ. We are to be faithful unto his appearing. And there are to be any rebukes that we're not the Christians that we're supposed to be. In other words, if we believe in the word of God and we follow it, then we stay with it. We don't veer from it. We don't take away from it. We live up to it. We own it as if it was our own. And we say, hey, this is who I am because of the word of God. Amen. And it says that this is a commandment. We are to take it as a commandment. Amen. People don't today take it as a commandment reading your Bible. But God says, study the word. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So what has been faithful? I mean, what has been entrusted into you? Well, I believe that we claim Jesus Christ our Savior. I believe this morning that the truth of the Word of God has been entrusted into us. And I believe that we are to give over to it. We are to follow it and let it become what it wants to be in our life. You know, Paul, He can express this into us another way. And this is how we would do it. Say you got a safety deposit box. And you got it at the bank. And the only one that has the key is you. And the other one is who you elect. But you can go to that safety deposit box. And you can bring that box out of its vault. And you can open up and you can admire all the valuables that you have in that box. Amen. But back in Paul's day, there was no safety deposit box. When you went on a trip, when you found a person that was reliable, you left them with your possessions. And you said, I'll come back. I'll come and receive them one day when I return. And it's just what God has done for you and I. God says that for you and I, we are to guard the valuables, and that is the Word of God. He's entrusted us with the Word of God, and we are to guard it as if it was our own. Amen? Amen. There ought to be some things that we are to perceive in our life. Amen? And so here, Paul, he was commanding Timothy to be the guardianship of the Word of God. He says, Paul told Timothy, what I have given you, what I have gave you, make it your own. Don't veer from it. Don't water it down. Just keep it the way it is, because it's more valuable when we do so. Amen. Can you imagine you entrust somebody with your deposit box, and you come back and you find out that $50 were missing. Amen. It don't have the whole value that you had placed on that. You had $300, but now you got $250. The whole value isn't there. Amen. And yet you was willing to give that value to somebody, but you can't because some of the value was taken away. This morning, folks, God has commanded you and I as believers. He has required for you and I to be believers, to be faithful in what he is entrusting you. You're saying, what does that mean? Well, Think about who you are this morning. Think about the value that you have in your life towards others. Amen. Think about those people and you love them. Amen. This very life that God has given to you is not your own, but is yours, that God has placed a value in it. He's placed a value in your life for others to love you, and you're to take this value and you're to share it with other people. Amen.
Amen.
And so that life that God has given you, that life that God has entrusted in you, is a value that you're to share with others. Amen. I wonder this morning, what could we say about the value and the faithfulness that God has placed in our life? I'm reminded at a time when I was young and ignorant and not far from many days from thereof today. But I'm saying that when I was younger and wasn't very bright, the life that God had given me, that He gave me, you know, I wasn't really a good steward of it. And I would say to you, I've made a lot of mistakes. And today, this very day, I live with regret and shame because of those mistakes. And so, folks, we can't stop our lives going through the trials, but what we can do is learn to embrace what God has entrusted us, and that is simply this life that He's entrusted us, that we give it back wholly unto the Lord, that when God, when He comes and receives some things out of our life, when He comes and requires some things from us, we can get back and says, what is the value of your life? And we can give it back into a full understanding. God, I've respected what You've given me. And today we want to look at that. We want to look at the Word of God here. How the Bible says that Timothy, Paul told Timothy, keep what I have given you. I wonder what it had been like if Adam and Eve did the same thing for you and I. You're saying, well, why you always got to go back to the creation? Because that's where all of your problems and all of my problems started at. And yet, if Adam and Eve really took value in the life that God had given to them, perhaps you and I wouldn't have to go and live through the struggles we do today. Folks, sin breaks our hearts. Sin destroys our life. I was talking to an individual yesterday, and I'm not going to make mention of their name nor their age, but I would say to you that here's a heart that's been broken because of sin. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how good looking you are, sin destroys your life and my life. And I wonder this morning that if we would say as faithful believers, would we say that we've given our life back to Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, we have placed our lives, we have placed our brokenness, we have placed all of our failures into His hands, because it's hard to be faithful. It's hard to be the kind of person that we would want to be. And so this morning, I want to present to you that faithfulness is for every believer. Second thing is this. Faithfulness is suspended by many believers today. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that they have lost their focus. Paul knew that there would be many temptations to hinder from one staying focused on the gospel. Not one individual in all their mind, in all their life, can say that they're focused every moment of the day. We get tripped up. We get led away. We get mixed up in all the things that comes into our life. And so, for one, it's hard to stay focused and what God wants us to intake in our life. It's like trying to focus with photography. You're trying to focus one image, one little object. But it's hard to get that one focus with your camera because it wants to focus on other things that are around that one object. And so you have to stay still. You have to do whatever you can. Zoom in and do your best to get that one object focus. And it's just like with Jesus Christ. He should be our only focus this morning, but many things come in his perspective. And it takes away of us trying to focus on Jesus Christ. And so this morning, there are many, numerous Christians that are faithless, their faithfulness for Christ is suspended because they are out of focus. And so this morning, we can be so concerned about our work, so concerned about our career, so concerned even about our families, so concerned about our education, our advancement, for or whatever the case may be. There are many things that can pull us out from focusing on Christ. You know, we all struggle with that. I know I do. Work, activities, friendships. It's hard to be focused all the time. And yet, if you were honest before Christ, you would admit this morning that there's times that when you know you are to be focusing on Jesus Christ, but other things come in this way. This morning, I would like to say to you that Christians are to stay focused against certain things. Go with me in your Bible and look with me down, and we're going to pick up here the rest of the chapter. I'm trying not to get you turned back and forth. I don't want you to just go to sleep. Amen. Look with me in verse 20. Verse 20, let's read what the Bible says and we'll come back to it. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Notice, first of all, O Timothy, here, Paul was trying to get the attention of young Timothy. Oh, Timothy, that's a word like we use, behold. Or do you hear what I'm saying? That's a word, same thing. And so here, Paul's trying to get his attention because he's trying to give some warnings about the life that or some things that he ought to be focusing against. Look with me, first of all, number one. Right there in verse 20, it says, avoid profane and vain babblings. First of all, avoid profane and vain babblings. Christians are to avoid those who, number one, well, turn to me to 2 Timothy, amen. You're right there, amen. I got to keep you awake. 2 Timothy, and we'll hurry up if you turn the page, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look with me, the Bible's telling us. Verse 3, verse 4, it says, chapter 3, I'm on 2, okay, there it is, I knew something was wrong, chapter 4, with me, no, chapter 3, verse 4, all right, don't confuse yourself, all right, verse 4, it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, mortal lovers of God. Now, I want to give you a little definition thing here. And so let's, number one, look at traitors. All right. This is what traitors mean. It says a person who betrays a friend, countryman, or principal. Traitors. That's what traitors are. So you and I, we are to be focusing on these vain things. And that is that we unite our lives with a bunch of traitors. Paul's telling Timothy, stay away from traitors. traitors who will betray you, traitors who will turn their country upside down for the lure of money, traitors who will forsake the principles of God. You and I are to protect ourselves from traitors. Amen. Second thing, look with me, hating. Boy, I never knew what that really meant. But hating means in the content of liquor, and that is potent and toxic liquor. Here, the Bible's telling you and I, we are to avoid it. Amen. So, Pastor, can I really drink? What's the Bible said? Amen. Bible tells you and I we are to avoid these things. And so, folks, I want to bring your attention, because there's not just the things of liquor that intoxicate our life, but when you get into sin, it intoxicates your life. It destroys the good things that God wants to bring you up in, and yet you are to pay attention to it. Look what else the Bible says. High-minded. You know what that means? Having or showing high exalted principles of feelings. High-minded. Hey, I don't need to listen to the preacher. Man, I know more than he does. And man, I can just stay home and worship Christ. And although I'm a child of the God and I can do whatever I want, God loves me and He'll forgive me of my sin. High-minded. We are to stay away from the people. That's what the Bible's telling us. Amen. Look it up. Amen. I did for this morning. I looked it up. I said, hey, God, you got to give me something to preach. And this is what it put on our heart. Amen. We are to avoid these things. Paul was telling Timothy all of this, these two letters that Paul was writing to Timothy, his young son in the faith. In order to be as you and I, we have to recognize this in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Last of all, right there in verse 4, we don't have time to go through all of it. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure. You know what that is? These are folks that are indifferent to the teachings of the Word of God. They'd rather be anywhere else than in the house of God. They're being taught by all the other things. There's no love for God. No, listen, folks, you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. You love somebody, you